Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to the final Wise Men Say reaction show of the season. I'm Eleanor McCabe. I am joined, as always, by Mr. Michael Loff. Hello.
Hi.
And we have also kindly invited two men you might have heard of to join us today. We've got Mr. Stephen Goldsmith. Hello, Stephen.
Afternoon.
And Mr. Gareth Parker.
Can I just point out that we invited ourselves so we didn't have to do the pod on Monday?
Excellent. I'm sure everyone will be really... I mean, there's nothing to talk about, is there?
Is anybody going to listen in on Monday or Tuesday?
I mean, nobody's been listening for about 2 months, let's be honest.
I mean, it's a difficult thing to find much more to say than for a reactor, isn't it? Like, 2-0 loss on the last day of the season after a pretty, like, crap second half. Second half of the season.
Okay.
No, I wasn't. The second half was arguably the better half, maybe.
The second half was definitely the better half.
Yeah. But
do you know what? If anybody wants to throw a positive right out there straight away,
Callum Stiles.
The difference Evans and Rigg made, it was immeasurable, I thought. Like, it's just neglect that we didn't go out and replace Corey Evans. Like, he just showed in 45 minutes there what he offers to that midfield straight away. And we haven't had anybody like it, so...
Yeah,
I've turned a positive and a negative immediately there.
Well, that is what we do on this podcast. But I think as well it was nice seeing Rigg moved into that midfield, because it gives you a sight into potentially the pairing of, like, if he's with Dan Neil next season, you have got a pretty good midfield.
Miss Dan Neil a day as well.
Like, yeah,
we can't turn the ball up. We can't go from defence to attack quickly without him, because we rely on him to be the person who gets the ball, turns, and makes things happen. So
even with him in, we haven't turned
defence
into attack.
Worse without him.
So we've scored three goals at home, I think. No, two goals at home, I think, since February 10th.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I missed them both. So, yeah. So at least...
We know what the solution is then, don't we?
I saw one. And we have not had a lead at home since February the 10th.
He's got stats. He hasn't got this written down, you know.
It's quite good, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
It's quite good, really, that, isn't it, when you think of it? If you think about it in the fullness of the context of what we're trying to achieve as a football club, I think that's really actually quite good.
It's sustainability, isn't it? It's a sustained crap form, which we...
The ultimate goal is to actually not do anything good, I think. So
ever.
If you... Ever. So I think if you are operating on that, you are succeeding.
Yeah, we are succeeding at not doing anything good ever. I mean... I mean, the ball did hit the back of the net today.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it back. Is it offside?
It didn't look offside from live to me. I mean, me and Mick, like, mixing the same way in the south stand, so you can't be sure. But, like, one of the lads I sat next to, his son, was, like, recording it, and we watched it back. And you can't...
You got live replays.
This is the generation you've got to roll with it. And from that, you can't see where 09 started running from. But he wasn't in the picture at all.
No.
And then you see where their defensive line was, and he just appears from nowhere and heads it. So maybe people are listening to this now and watch your bat and say that he was like 5 yards offside or something. But we just talked about live, he didn't look offside.
I mean, I've also, like, on the half time on the concourse, they played it back, and I still don't think he's off. So I could be in my wrong, but he just didn't look offside.
After that as well.
Jack Clark's. Like, that would have been the perfect... I mean, I'm going to say it. That would have been the perfect goodbye, wouldn't it? Because... there's only one reason you take a player off 4 minutes before the end and like replace him with a young lad.
We're talking about Dodgy and his substitutions here, so I'm sure you're gonna offer any sort of solid rationale behind any of it, to be fair.
I mean, yeah, but I still think Clark's gone.
It's just shape change and moving people around every fucking 10 minutes, overthinking everything. Like,
I don't, but at the same time, is it overthinking or is it the fact that what we've got to work with is that? I mean, firstly, people are like having a go, oh, sheesh, first half, whatever.
Bless you.
He's not... dear me. He's not even like... He's like... It's very different when you're running away from the ball and then you've got to turn and hold it, or if he's got the ball in front of him and he's seen the picture, it's a different. He's a different player. When he's being asked to play up front on his own, it's like, oh, well, he should be able to hold the ball. He should be able to control the ball. It's different. That's why you have centre-forwards.
Well,
Ross Stewart came on for 7 minutes for Southampton today. And he's probably entered... He's probably the... He's probably been...
He's got a higher XG than all our strikers put together.
But that is...
I mean... It's been... We should have, like, a clock in Wise Men Say headquarters, which, like, counts how many minutes it's been since we first mentioned that we needed a striker. But... Again today, like, there are some lovely balls put into the box, especially in the second half, that are just landing with Chef Wed players, because we've got...
It's not just that though, like, it, I know we like laboured this point so much, but it affects your entire like setup. It's like you said, Stephen, like when you're trying to turn defence into attack, we've got no focal point to do that whatsoever. We haven't got the option to go a bit more direct. It just stifles up, and what you see is kind of like what happened today. It's like, it's just like slow turgid. It must be so easy to defend against because there's no off the cuff football, there's no spontaneity,
because the centre halves have nothing to do. We've got no one to mark,
there's no one to occupy. Like, me and my dad were talking today about the goal that we're going back quite a bit now, but the goal that Jack Clark scored against like Rotherham at the start of like last season, where we got the ball and Clark did a mint run and score, but Ross Stewart, the ball was played up to him, he laid it off, and then the run Stewart then made, once he laid the ball off, opened up the space for Clark to just run through and score, and we just simply don't have the option to do that. But it is a catch 22, because I do agree with what Gareth's saying. I do think the Dodds has been kind of like well below par in this like later spell of interim charge. However, it is. But the thing is, so you think, right, okay, what's the alternative? Do you play somebody up front who's got no striker instincts, or bring on a striker who actually has no striker instincts either? Because you get this kind of picture that, oh, well, at least Hamid is going to occupy defenders, but he simply doesn't. No. So it's like, I've seen like strikers, like I've said this before as well, I've seen strikers play for Sunderland under 21s who have got nowhere near the first team, who they might not kind of have certain attributes that Hamid does, but they look kind of like as if they've played football before. It's not just run about, but it's kind of like game sense, knowing where to be, knowing how to anticipate. And Hamid, for me, just has none of them traits.
Occupying defenders, pinning them, bringing them away to open space. So this is getting forward play, isn't it?
Yeah. So this is the dilemma we've got. It's like, and Burstow, to be fair, he's not really shown that much of that anyway either. So it's, and he's not our player. So it's at the point where it's like, it's just a catch 22. It's like, do you have like that share of shit, or that share of shit? It's just like, it's just not. It's just
the same old arguments that everyone's been making for like 18 months now. It's like, we know that people listening to this must be bored of hearing us say the same thing about the strikers. We are bored of saying it time and time again.
Everyone's saying it though.
Like, now they are.
The vast majority of people will be saying it.
Yeah, we were the OGs.
Everyone, and like, you know, online and
we
the actual.
We didn't understand modern football.
But that's, you know, online football fandom's very different in the ground. If you go to the ground, you'll hear the same. You'll hear people discussing the same issues, I guess. I mean,
Andy Speakman chanced today for the first
was
time.
Was it really?
I didn't hear that.
Speakman at Bible Club,
aye.
Oh, lovely.
In the south stand. OGs on that one as well.
I am sorry for starting.
Been here since day one.
We're saying chance. It was only me and Mika were doing it.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You look at what. So, what have we got? We discussed this a few months ago, I don't know, about like. The squad we've got now is probably the squad with the vast majority of those players are probably going to be the group for next year.
Yeah.
So you look at Barr, well, how many appearances he had in the championship? 60, 70 appearances? He must be. I mean, having looked it up, he must be 60, 70 appearances.
Jordy shot the one out for a throw-in today.
Yeah, I mean, that was harder. That was harder to do. It was he was
trying to play a Clark in. Come on.
It didn't deflect.
I don't know what happened. It was
he shot the one out for a throw in, that's what happened.
You know when like people are like sideways. You know when people are like sort of like theorising about the laws of physics?
Yeah.
Do you think if Barr had taken that shot on the day that they were about to make the apple fell on Isaac
Newton's head.
He went, what the fuck was that? And it could have changed the course of history had Barr had that shot on that day. That's how impressive that effort was.
It was mind blowing. Like there was no kind of theories about it. And we did look like the better team in the second half. Well, not the better team, but we looked better than the team we'd been in the second half, I think. I think it was our better half, but still didn't look like scoring much. We were a bit more in our box, but we weren't.
I was at Hillsborough earlier in the season, and like, not even exaggerating, like it looked like we were three divisions apart.
Yeah.
And I know like form like counts for something, and I go confidence counts for something, and it goes a long way. But our squad is so much better than theirs, and they're 3 points behind us now. Finished on, and like it just shows.
And if they'd lost today, they would have gone down. Yeah, like
it's so much better. I would say.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying.
I would say their squad is quite aged,
it shows the value. Having like a good coach, you know what
that's,
I mean?
That's what I was going to get to. Yeah, just took us ages to get to that point. Yeah, but like, totally. Because like, it was just like, honestly, I'm not even exaggerating. It was like we were three divisions apart at Hillsborough. That's what it was like. And the gulf wasn't like that today, because like I say, I think we scored what looked like a good goal, hit the post, keeper made a couple of saves. At Hillsborough, they didn't even get out their half, and we just stopped playing a 3-0.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, like, it just shows that like coaching's got it makes a difference who's in charge. So when Speakman comes out and all pats himself on the back about everything to say like it's all part of the process they've put in place, it's not. And we were saying like how well Mowbray was doing the whole time and doing such a good job with his players that had these weaknesses and inadequacies so you know like what we mentioned about the centre forward and Evans and stuff like that, and we got the playoffs like despite all that stuff, and how can you not praise the coach for that?
But it's
coming to pass though, isn't it? Because they've sacked them and in their words because they are obsessed with progression. And fucking hell, look at it, man. Like,
our progression is Michael Beale and Michael Dodds.
Yeah, but the thing is, though,
is there another Michael? Michael Bolton, Michael is Lough. He available? Yeah. Michael Lough, excellent. Like,
you do look like Will Still a little bit.
He looks like Sunderland's version of Will Still. There you go. Well, Sunderland's answer to Will Still.
Will Still of Sunderland Wish. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, that's nothing against you, Mick. That's
just.
Where's Speakman now, though? You know when everything's going well, and he's telling us all part of his plan, and you can't fucking shut him up, and he's patting himself on the back about everything, and like everybody, and the whole time we were saying, like, let's give more credit to Mowbray, but there was almost this cult that developed around Speakman to say it was all about him and the players, his the new process of signing young players and all that stuff. So if he's going to get all the credit for that, then he deserves a criticism for where we are now, surely. And you couldn't shut him up, and now he said nothing apart from let's plod on to the end of the season.
I mean, that's
which we've barely done that, to be fair.
I hope he stood outside of the reception coming out of the stadium today, and that man who called Chris Coleman a prick, I hope he's there. That's the ultimate, like, full circle moment, isn't it? Like, Speakman gets called a prick, he tells him he's a married man with, does he have any kids? Couple of kids.
He's got six, though.
Yeah, does he have six kids? Ah, exactly. He's brought all the kids into the club.
I think he just buys them, doesn't he?
Well, Christian Speakman does not buy children.
No, he does. Let's get a disclaimer.
Yeah. What Gareth means is we've bought a lot of young players. We do not believe, here at Wise Men Say, that Christian Speakman buys and sells children. That's something we want to make clear.
But we are looking at it, right? It's the fact that I think last summer, when we achieved what we did, getting in sixth in the league, I think the issue was, Speakman, what he did, rather than looking, right, okay, we did a great achievement, but we've obviously sold ourselves short in so many departments, so the striker issue, the centre midfield issue, and then what he's done, he's gone, right, okay, this has worked out because of our kind of like marvellous plan, so what we'll do, right, okay, we'll take away the little experience that we've had, and then what we'll do, we'll sign people who like have had very limited like football experience, and like I say, it's just been an absolute kind of like powder keg of disaster, because now you look at the game like today, like I know some people like didn't rate Pritchard, but he was very good at like talking players through games, he was good at coordinating the press, he was a very central player to what we were doing. You take away the tiny bit of experience we've had, Danny Bott, again, when we've had periods this season where we've had like injuries, he would have been perfect to slot in, he'd have been good in certain games coming up against teams that play really direct football. Like even like Lyndon Goose, like I do understand like the rationale behind maybe like moving him on, but equally if you're going to bring in Pembele, yeah, I know he's been injured, but he's hardly kicked the ball all season. We've tied him down with a 5-year contract. Lewis Hamir on a 4-year contract. We've kind of just like massively doubled down, and this is if they thought they were playing this kind of like 4-day chess, and they thought it was their own cleverness to got them to achieve what they did last season, rather than like you said, Stephen, like the excellent kind of coaching from Tony Mowbray and the style of football that we played. And I think because we've ended the season in such a disastrous style, I mean, I think the drop off even from when Bale was here has been extraordinary, not even from Mowbray, like even like Michael Bale,
that takes some doing, to be fair.
Yep, I know, but like under Bale, yeah, I didn't like him at all, but those two home games we played, Stoke and Plymouth, scored 6 goals in the 2 games. We don't look like doing that now in a million years.
It's a bit of a puzzle, that, though, isn't it? Because, like, I know, like, when a caretaker manager comes in, it's almost like people sort of compare to, like, a substitute teacher or something and say there's no direction and stuff. But
lads are all throwing paper airplanes around the dressing room.
And, but, like, the performances under Dodds before Bale come in, like, there was, like,
that great. We beat Leeds.
Class against Leeds. We blew West Brom away at home. And how have we gone from that to this? He's like, and then Bale came in and sort of tried to shore us up a little bit, and it wasn't the front foot football we've been seeing, but he's took it even further back than that.
It's abundantly clear, like, someone wants to challenge me on this.
I'm sure plenty of people will online. Like, we don't need to challenge him personally.
It's clear that Neil and Mowbray are the only... with the glue that was holding all of this together. You know, people can say what they want about Neil. He obviously bailed on it because it was like, and I would say, imagine being in the scenario where you're at Sunderland and you go, nah,
I'd rather
go to Stoke because it's not going to work here. And people will have these conversations about, he wanted full control of this. Load of rubbish. Like, he left because he could see what was coming down the road. Mowbray, I think, probably hung in there because he, that sense of personal pride and protection that he probably had for the group of players that he was looking after, and he, like, ultimately he was sacked for basically being too disruptive. He was saying the quiet bits out loud, and he got sacked.
But even Beale started to do that towards the end. Like, Dodds is now, like, Beale's, what was it, his second like post match press conference was already saying, I look behind me on the bench and I'm not seeing much that I can work with. Like, this, it's like seeing the same allegation being made about someone same time and time again and going, oh, but it's not them. All of these people are the problem. There comes a point where you have to turn around and go, no, actually, this must be a problem. There has to be something. And I don't see, like, there's been that thing online, isn't there, about how Speakman's going to some top
Leon.
Yeah, he's going to like Leon, and everyone's like, oh, well, that just shows how great he is. Like, this just shows. And it's like, wait, but this is something you guys would know. This isn't my area of expertise. Should we see if we can find his LinkedIn? And
I'm just saying, like, Congdon was at what? Chelsea?
Celtic.
Team in Germany, quite a good team. Who've got Schalke? Was it Schalke?
Again, he's doing this off the top of his head.
He's had some good jobs. Geeks, my point is, the gigs are relevant to your ability at times, and sometimes it does what we see pass the eye test? Like, no. So if it doesn't pass the eye test, it's like, well, if you're digging at the data, if the data disputes your eyes, then fair enough. But I would say that on the most part, the data will corroborate what your eyes are seeing, and it's the same things over and over again, and people can say, well, you're being negative or whatever, but ultimately sitting that ground today and for the last however long there's people paying 530 540 quid to go and watch that, and it's not acceptable for the people who are offering that product to you to just literally tell you, like, oh well, we're gonna plod on. We're not gonna bother. I mean, it's a lack of understanding for, you know, it's about supporters, I think, being taken for granted again to a level. I don't want to come across as like entitled. Look, you're not entitled to like win every week just because you get 40,000 people on the ground or whatever. It's not about
if we do, we're not sure about those attendances.
But we do.
To be fair,
we do.
Like, we were, and then we had
it's
a drop.
Become a running joke again now, but like Sunderland are the fans at the front of this now with the ironic cheers and stuff like that. Because I know Mags are kind of piping up. I saw a tweet earlier when a journalist had said something about Sunderland being the 10th best supported team, and the replies were all Newcastle fans, which is tragic. But actually, it's only been the last couple of months where this has been the case, hasn't it?
And what you need to look at is our like away following as well. Like, we sold out Watford last week, which was just absolute no-hoper. Well, not no-hoper, but like it meant nothing. And then you still had lads and lasses travelling all the way down to London in order to support them, and then watch us lose 1-0. Like,
Gareth said it. Gareth called it like months ago how much they were taking it for granted and seeing it's like customers, and that was when we were playing relatively well as well. And it's been proved. Well, see, because I know we don't want to go on, and I don't know how louder it's going to get in the background now. I think the volume's only going to increase and not decrease. And back to the coaching thing, and it's kind of ironic that Tony Mowbray is involved in what I'm going to ask. Well, Birmingham have been relegated today. About time, I would say. But does anybody think that if Tony Mowbray was fit and healthy and leading Birmingham, the Birmingham would have been relegated?
No, absolutely not. No. Like, nobody thinks he would have. They, like, and he's, I mean, and that leads on to the question of this season, considering we are 3 points off a team and 6 points off relegation today, it begs the question, had Mowbray not had the beginning of the season with us, would we have stayed up this season? And like, I know it's because we've stayed up and it's all fine, and well, no, it's not all fine, but we've stayed up, we haven't had to fight relegation, but Are we crediting with like Michael Dodds, Michael Beale, and then Michael Dodds again, stopping us from getting relegated?
Well, the thing is, it's an interesting one with Dodds, because we were, when it was going really well and we were playing like on the front foot attacking football, you think it's down, you've got to praise the coaches for that, haven't you? Because Mowbray wasn't hands on, he implemented a philosophy, but the coaches had to do it, and we were playing like that. But now Dodds has made a conscious decision not to play like that because he's in charge. So that, my opinion on him is this, so I'm not for sure anymore, but because of that, it's weird. I think we need to
wrap it up, because There's a lot of various noise going on here.
Which is fine.
Yes, exactly.
You can't enjoy yourself down there, can you? So you might as well enjoy yourself.
Well, thank you.
We encourage enjoyment. And he's got
FGM tattooed on his tits. Look at that.
Oh, so nothing
and he's
but respect.
It. That's just me.
That's just Mick. He's lost his mind. Well, thank you.
I mean, if I edit this, or if you listen, Richard, if you're going to edit this, just cut it at the point where Stephen says he's slapping his tits. He is slapping his tits.
I mean, we're not going to get in. This is a whole different thing. This is going to end up being the pod that gets taken down again because there's too much. From me and Mick, when we've been doing the reactions every week, thank you for listening to us drone on.
Thank you for listening. Seriously.
Yeah, it's been a season. But
thanks from us for doing it every week as well.
Oh, you're welcome. If you buy us a pint, we'll be even. but yeah, thank you so much for listening and enjoy your weekend.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.